Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Mark Pazniokas from CT Mirror. We always run out of time. I don't know, Paz, if you had the chance to listen. We just had Congressman Larson on just a second ago, but really fascinated about what happened in America and in Connecticut on Tuesday. And I just, you know, for someone like you who's covered this stuff for so long, I guess I just would open up with a real just general question. Like, what were your thoughts on what happened in the election?
Well, you know, the problem of analyzing national elections from the point of view from Connecticut, which is, you know, now a reliably blue state, particularly in presidential elections since 1992, it can be difficult at times. But I think the polling, the last polling showed that, I don't know, I was not surprised because, you know, Harris had to win both Pennsylvania and Georgia, and it wasn't looking good. And then in the end, the thing that I think I didn't hear Congressman Larson, but the thing that stuns everybody is just that Trump ran the battleground states. And I think that has rocked Democrats here and nationally. And the question is, will the Democrats undertake the exercise that the Republicans did in 2012, which was basically, let's look at our message, let's look at our outreach.
I feel like they made some of the same mistakes that they said they learned in 2016. Like all these consultants and not enough real, you know, like it just seemed like they were navigating this campaign from 30,000 feet too much. And then there's a little delusion there about what happened.
To be fair, they had a very good ground game, which ironically, the Trump campaign, by all accounts, did not.
Okay, let me stop you there, because this is a great conversation. I don't mean to interrupt you. When you say that, maybe the ground, what constitutes a good ground game and not, should the definition should change? Because I talk about all the door knocks, but maybe that doesn't translate into registrations and votes. You know, maybe Trump's people going on college campuses and doing all this stuff was more successful. Maybe the way we define things in the 21st century should shift a little bit about what's a good ground game and not.
That is a very legitimate point, and that is one of the things I think people are looking at. And how did the Trump campaign energize and reach out to young white males? I mean, let's be blunt about that. Yep. And there was this kind of whole bro vibe about the, you know, using social media, using people that perhaps older voters, more conventional voters, more reliable voters were would look at that and say, oh, come on. You know, come
right.
on, this is
a waste of
know.
Time, right?
Yeah. And, but that's what I mean when I say, you know, they really should do what the Republicans did under Reince Priebus back in 2012. And of course the problem with the Republicans then is the rise of Donald Trump and his complete takeover of that party. They kind of set aside, all that research. Part of that research, interesting, was geared to New England, which was, how do we reach out to our New England cousins that we've lost touch with? Yeah. You know, the Democrats, look, there's some long-standing trends here. Democrats have not won a majority of white male voters in a long time. You know, this goes back to the 60s. So, I mean, there's some very significant trend lines here, you know. The thought was the turnout by women, which always exceeds the turnout by men, that would be Kamala Harris's saving grace. It was not. So, I mean, there's a lot to sift through here. This is not like 2016 when the Democrat won the popular vote.
Right.
And that, you know, this was sort of, you know, the kind of weird thing about the United States of America, this thing called the Electoral College, which gives greater weight to votes cast in small state, you know, small population states like Montana, Wyoming. This is not that. I mean, I think it's going to be a little bit, you know, still before we know the full popular vote. But this clearly was a sweeping victory by Donald Trump his second time around, you know. And again, this is, you know, this is somebody who still faces sentencing for 34 felony convictions before he takes the oath of office.
Yeah, I feel like this stuff that might end up melting away. You know, we're talking with Mark Pazniokas from CT Mirror. It is fascinating because there's more. It's not such a linear conversation. I mean, there's so much nuance to it. And, you know, I sort of intimated to Congressman Larson that, you know, the perception is that Democrats they don't support the working class, and they just assume that they'd get that support. And finally, the working class said, you know, no. And then there's a perception of a cultural elitism to the party. And he sort of pushed back on that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, Governor Lamont and the state controller, Sean Scanlon is a very astute analyst, in my view. I've known him since he was a young state rep, and I was always struck by his knack for kind of going through these things. And, you know, Sean Scanlon and Ned Lamont are, again, when you're grading on the scale of Connecticut politics, they are more centrist Democrats. Their message yesterday was different from that of other Democrats. Yes, they said they will continue to fight for the rights of all people in Connecticut. But both of them said Democrats need to look inwardly about what happened. You know, Lamont said clearly great elements of working class families felt that we had lost our way with them. And so it was interesting that, you know, they had a press conference with Senator Blumenthal, William Tong, Susan Bisowitz, and the messaging was a little bit different. You know, there was some unity there, but again, I was struck by how Governor Lamont and Sean Scanlon were more willing to immediately say to fellow Democrats, we need to be introspective here and not just say, we will continue to fight. Yes, you know, Lamont said, you know, we must continue to fight about trying to preserve certain environmental protections. You know, he said it'll be unclear as to what will be the status of the EPA, for example, right, in a second Trump administration.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things there, but I think their initial thing was, yes, where we disagree with the Trump administration, we will fight, we will resist. But the idea, you cannot just reassess where you are by simply saying we will be resistance warriors when Mr. Trump won by such a large margin.
Yeah, we're talking with Mark Pazniokas from CT Mirror. I did want to get to something on the state level. You know, it was thrown at me yesterday, and I hadn't considered, you know, Lamont, fiscally, it's been, you know, since the pandemic, a home run for him, whether it's the federal money or not. We have this dynamic, but we have this massive budget battle looming. It looks like veto-proof majorities, you know, and correct me if I'm...
But with a big, I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's a big, big asterisk there. Those are veto-proof majorities if you have a governor of the opposite party and the Democrats are absolutely united, and they're not. They have factions, and they have significant factions that agree with Ned Lamont on fiscal issues.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. I was curious because is there ever a dynamic that, you know, they would pass something, the governor would veto it, and then a Democratic legislature would override a Democratic governor's veto? Would that ever happen?
It's possible, but it will be. It'll depend on what the issue is, because again,
say the fiscal guardrails.
Fiscal guardrails. It's a question of how they're done. Now, if you're Ned Lamont and you have a good political staff, and if you can see that there is a consensus in, say, the House Democratic Caucus, which is very diverse geographically and ideologically, right? You have everything from, you know, people who represent some of the poorest census tracts in the United States to the wealthiest. If you see where it's going, if you are a smart governor, you're not going to fight over that. You're going to shape it. So one of the questions I have is, will Ned Lamont's administration take the temperature of the General Assembly and before the session opens, before his budget comes out, will he propose any changes to it? You know, that'll be the interesting question. He resisted any change the last session because he said, look, Connecticut has had such a bad reputation for fiscal management and poor economic growth. And he saw any change, even quite frankly, a reasonable one, as sort of a step on a slippery slope. The pressure now is so great because the state is still generating surpluses. We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
At a time when there is a bipartisan consensus that the state has unmet needs. You know, I don't think anybody says, oh, the reimbursement rates for people who provide vital social services, you know, employed by nonprofits. I don't find anybody saying those people are overpaid.
Yeah, Mark, I'm so sorry. I get in a lot of trouble when I go past the hour, and I try to be respectful, but I also don't want to get fired. So we got to run.
Don't run. It's okay.
Yeah, I know. I love talking to you. We've run out of time. We'll have to get you in studio where we can take some of the shackles off. But I appreciate
all right,
you
let me know, and I'll do that.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Mark Pazniokas, CT Mirror.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.